Well, hello everybody, and welcome to our Catholic News podcast. And today, I'm going to take you into Kenya, and actually the north of that country, because I'm joined by Bishop Peter Kiriaki and Isako Jerma. Bishop Peter is obviously the bishop of the diocese of Marsabit in the north, and Isako is the director of Caritas Marsabit. So, the first big question is to talk about those five seasons of failed rains. Just tell me exactly what the impact of those five failed seasons was on the people.
Yeah, the failed five rainy season in Kenya, and particularly northern Kenya, the impact and the effect is on the people's livelihoods. People in Marsabit, 81% of the population depend on livestock entirely. And the drought that was occasioned by the failure of five consecutive rainy seasons killed many livestock. Over 80% of livestock in Marsabit County died, and therefore over 300,000 people have lost their livelihoods and are currently food insecure. They have nothing to wake up to feed the families, apart from food aid or any support from either humanitarian organization, the church, or the government.
And Bishop Peter, you know, I know you've had rains recently, and that's, you know, thanks be to God, that's a great source of encouragement. But it did strike me when you were talking to us before this podcast about the need to focus on recovery, because it's easy to say, oh, great, now the rains have come. But actually, as you say, the crops are dead and many livestock have died. So it's not as simple as turning on a switch, is it? There's a big recovery effort needed. So tell us a bit about how you're going to recover.
We'll try our best to be able to raise up the people again after their feet, because the greater percentage of community, as my friend has said, about 80%, do not know any other form of agriculture apart from livelihood. So they will need to be supported, first of all, even as they wait for any seeds that they may plant in their farms to grow, to mature, to become food, they will still need more support until the next 3 months or 4 months. Secondly, they do not know, as I said, any form of agriculture apart from shepherding or livestock. They will need recovery, to be assisted, to have some animals that as part of restocking. So that again they can start rearing them, and God willing, they will reproduce and they will have more to do. But right now, recovery process is to help to save life as we are doing before, as we wait for these, even to have friends who will contribute to help us for the recovery process as well as restocking. Right now, we do not have so much, and that's why we came out to share this situation with our Caritas members and other churches so that they can help us in order to help these most needed people.
And just to stay with you for one more question, Bishop Peter, I was very struck by what you said about a parish visit you made 175 kilometres further away, right into the arid, you know, remote area of your diocese. I want to get to that human dimension again. Tell me how the people received you and you know, obviously after all those challenges of not having water for days.
As I said, it was on Christmas Day last year. And I went to assist the pastor of those people, because he's alone, in 9 communities of his churches around. So I thought I was going to give a hand, because the week before I had sent what we had received from our Caritas fraternity in Kenya, food. So I divided for all the parishes. So as I arrived there, of course, they were very hopeful that the bishop's coming is bringing something more. But for me, I had already given a week before what I had. And they told me they received. But because of the demand on the ground, they couldn't keep so much. When they came closer to me to ask me what I said there, Bishop, you have come empty hands. It touched me, and I felt like a mother when she has nothing to give to a child. I felt challenged that I could not be able to do a miracle like Jesus did. Yeah, when he was told, oh, there is a boy here with five loaves, but what is that for this? That's what people are telling me. I felt challenged. They said, God will help us. As I said again, thank God, even until now, no human being, no human life has died, no human person has died, because God has been with us. We may not see what he gives us, but he provides in their many ways. Even now we are praying, and the same God will touch those who are hearing us, and they share the little they can for his greater glory and the joy of his children, ours and many others in the world.
And how incredible in such desperate circumstances. But Isako, pick up on that a bit and tell us about how, as the social action arm of the church, as it were, how are you helping that recovery, particularly perhaps with your international partners like CAFOD in England and Wales here?
We are in discussion with some of our partners for resources to do restocking for the families that have lost all they had in the drought. We have over 300,000 people that are food insecure now. These people, their children, some of them have dropped out of school. They need to go back to schools. Their fees have to be paid. In the boarding schools where the nomadic pastoralist children go to, they need food there. They dropped out of schools because of lack of food in these schools. The pastoralists who only know how to herd, like His Lordship has said, need to be introduced to restocking. A pastoralist who does not own one cow, one camel, does not even fit within the social structure of the community, leave alone food security issue. Dignity of a pastoralist to live among his group without one animal is such a big issue. So what we do at Caritas is to do proposals, to design projects that will help in restocking, to help us to get resources to buy livestock and few numbers, for example, such that one family will get a few number and then over a season they will pass it on after reproduction to other families such that it will be regenerated. And then we have a lot of youths that are unemployed. The herders that used to herd their livestock, now they are just idle. And because of the conflicts in Northern Kenya and in Marsabit, it's a potential risk. We want to engage them. We want to introduce them to some life skills training through vocational training institutions. We want to train women on basic business skills such that they do saving and lending activities, such that their livelihood option is diversified, that they don't only depend on one livelihood source, which is pastoralism, that when drought comes up, they all get finished and making the families destitute. If you have one more other skill or one more other alternative source of livelihood, then you become more resilient. So these are the projects. Unfortunately, we have not gotten a lot of support from international donor agencies, but from the Caritas partners, we were able to save lives. CAFOD supported us so much. For over 1 year, they have been feeding people and some of our other Caritas organizations. But now, recovery is a big investment. It requires more support. We are making this appeal such that the lives of these people will be rebuilt again, what was destroyed.
And I think it's important to say as well, Bishop Peter, that the church in Marsabit, in the north of Kenya, doesn't just support the Catholics of the area, does it? I know you have good interreligious cooperation with groups, but also Muslims, for instance, may well send their children to Catholic schools. So you do look beyond your own walls, don't you?
Yeah. From the beginning, from the onset, the church has never been discriminatory. It was assisting everyone regardless of their religion. Even now we continue in the same way. Even Caritas, though being very Catholic, the other arm of the Diocese of Marsabit, the policy is they don't look at the religion. Every person in the emergency area or affected by the emergencies is liable to get that, because that's the justice, national justice that fits all. A hungry person, Catholic or Protestant or Muslim, is the same. And that is our policy. We don't discriminate, whether in education, in our hospitals, or the rest. And all of them are happy to go to Catholic schools. For that, I'm happy, because we don't discriminate.
That's excellent. It's great to hear the creative work, the planning for the future. But I do want to just finish, finally, by looking at Catholics in England and Wales, our Catholics in our communities here, and what they perhaps can do to help. Clearly, there's a need for prayer, but clearly there's a need for support as well through Caritas, through CAFOD. So what can they do? I mean, we did talk, didn't we, a little bit about being responsible with regard to climate change and the actions of those of us over here and the impact it has in the north of Kenya specifically as well. So what are the things that people can do, Isako, I'll start with you, over here and in England and Wales to help people in the north of Kenya?
Climate change effect is no longer a narrative that you discuss, but is a reality we are facing. We are face to face with the effects of climate change. But unfortunately, the people who are bearing the brunt of climate change are people who have no idea of what is happening in the environment, in the atmosphere. What they know is herding their livestock, watering them, milking them, slaughter, selling them, get some income, and then meet their needs. But what is happening on the other side of the world is causing more harm on the people who are less informed, less destructive in terms of environment. So our appeal is the agenda of climate change, the adaptation, the reduction on destruction to the environment, actually going by Laudato Si, the Pope's message that the Mother Earth needs to be taken care of for everybody. We share only one Earth. No matter what you know, no matter where you live, no matter how much, it is one Earth. So if those who are causing harm on the environment for the sake of people who are not in the know and bearing the biggest brunt, need to consider looking at conserving the environment. And whatever narrative is out there to support climate change adaptation, climate change funding, climate change strategies, these things need to devolve, to go down through the church structures to support people on the ground. There is no network. The flow of information from where these things are discussed and designed and where it's supposed to be implemented, there is a big gap. This gap needs to be reduced.
And the final word goes to you, Bishop Peter. What would your message be to Catholics in England and Wales listening to this?
Apart from being grateful to what they have done for us in the past, we would urge them to support us even now, especially in overcoming this challenge, the resilience over the drought consequences, and even much more now that, as we mentioned before, the youth who have been shepherding this livestock, they have nothing to do. It's very easy for them to again erupt conflict between themselves because they want to survive. We would like to appeal to our England and Wales Catholics and other people of goodwill to help us support these young people. First of all, to retrain them, to give them a skill that they will use in their life, because right now they don't have cows. What are they doing? If they are willing, they have gone to school and there are training centers that they can go to. If they are empowered, capacity building, to learn new skills, they will have an alternative instead of taking a spear or a gun to go and steal. They have an employment by their own skill and labor. And then also, in order to stop them from overflowing, immigrating from there where life is hard and difficult, in order to come to look for this in Europe, we do not want that to happen because we shall be losing also. We need them there, but capacity build there in order to help, to uplift their standard and that of their society. That's what appeal. We ask them to support us in order to help this needy generation.
And those of us that find ourselves looking at our prayer intentions on our knees, what would be a good prayer intention for Masabit?
The prayer, that the loving God may open doors, that will bring us his blessings, because we are still the same children he created in his image and likeness, so that all of us can raise our prayer and gratitude to him for having received the blessings he requires.
The best thing for me to say is amen. Amen. Bishop Peter Karaoke from the Diocese of Marsabit and Isako Jerma, who's the director of Caritas Marsabit, thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you too for having us.